Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres and Diamondbacks game two of a three-game series tonight here at Petco Park. And to talk a little bit more about the snakes.
The snakes.
Steve Gilbert, MLB.com. Snakes. I saw a snake today, an actual snake.
Really? Where'd you go, by the zoo?
Balboa Park, yeah. Well, not in the zoo, like hiking in that area.
Rattlesnake?
No,
absolutely not. Snake. Kidding me, a bit of rattlesnake, he wouldn't be here right now.
You're right about that. I'd still be running.
Yeah.
I'd be like halfway up the coast.
Hey, did you get your beach towel yet?
I did not get my beach towel.
They'll hand it out in the press box later on. We have to make sure all the fans get them.
We have a lot of beach in Arizona. We just don't have a lot of water.
You got a lot of sand.
That's what I'm saying. Man. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of beach, but not a lot of water.
Steve Gilbert is on Twitter, at SteveGilbertMLB. He does an expert job covering the Diamondbacks, who are certainly an interesting team to cover these days. You've got an active front office, as we were just alluding to. We've seen a Trumbo trade that was certainly significant. I imagine we may see some other moves coming down the line. You've got Yasmani Tomas, who seems to be developing nicely. And, the Triple Crown caliber MVP candidate in Paul Goldschmidt, who appears to just be sort of doing business as usual so far this year.
Yeah, you know, I think the it's an interesting team to cover because the front office it does things a little differently than other front offices in this day and age. They're not as stat-heavy, sabermetric-heavy, and I think you saw that recent trade with the Braves where they essentially sold their number one pick from last year was something that the rest of the industry kind of raised their eyebrows about. But they just see things differently, so it makes it kind of interesting to cover.
They're baseball people.
Yeah, old school, man.
It's Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa. You start with La Russa and everybody there, and I get it. You know, but like, you know, lately, you know, they've been playing a lot better. You know, and I'm always checking the pitching, and it just seemed like this last little winning streak, actually the starting pitching's been a little bit better. Yeah. And that might be the really, really the main part of that little winning streak they've been on.
I think so. For, you know, early in the season, the starting pitchers weren't going deep in games, putting pressure on the bullpen, and it just kind of snowballs from there when that happens. But the last few times through the rotation, the starters have done a nice job. And that's kept them in ball games, and that has made a difference. They just can't seem to get over that 500 hump.
What, 11 times?
11 times since the last time they were at 500. They've been there. I got to tell you, Chip Hale's about done with us asking about the 500 mark, too. So no one will be happier than him when they get over the mark.
See, aren't you coachable? Quit asking him. Come on.
I understand.
Give the guy a break.
He's got to ask the question.
Come on.
Get out of Chip Hale's locker and let him do his job. Yeah, so what? Since like April 24th, the Diamondbacks have 11 times been within a game of 500. And they're 0-11 in those games, including 2 days ago against the Rockies when they had a lead late and they couldn't squeeze it. Although a lead late in Colorado doesn't really mean anything.
No, it probably is going to be raining too, so you can always figure out.
How about that, man?
19 hours. They've had 19 hours of rain delay so far
this year.
The Rockies.
That's scary.
Miserable. I've said it once. I've said it 100 times. They need to put a roof on Denver and a roof on Arlington.
He wants a roof on everything.
No, just on those two. You and sure? Also, I think the Colorado Rockies should be in the American League. I want to sell them to the American League. And then it's a DH place that they belong in the American League. They're like emotionally an American League team, philosophically an American League team with that ballpark. You put them in the AL, and then it's 16 teams in one league again and 14 in the other, and then we can get rid of interleague play once and for all.
Ooh.
Commissioner Jesse, that's one of my plans.
Wow.
You give the Rockies to the AL.
Did you hear that little blitz you just went
on? I mean, there was a lot of stuff there.
I'm sure glad you're here because nobody believed me, I guess.
That was a lot. That was a lot right there. It was a mouthful. Yeah.
Do you like, as somebody who covers the games and sees the teams as much as you do, all these games in the division, the 18 or 19 games against the different opponents?
You're asking somebody who lives in Arizona if they like coming to San Diego nine times a year? I'm going to go with the answer is yes. You know?
Well said, man.
But no, I understand the point, and I don't know what it's like for fans. You get to covering the game and you forget what it's like to be a fan. So I don't know how they feel about having to watch the Diamondbacks nine times or Diamondback fans watching Padre teams nine times. But I'll tell you, in this division, the travel is very nice. I don't know if I'd say that in other divisions.
But if you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, who's the one player that's really kind of impressed you here this first half that's got your attention?
Besides Paul Goldschmidt.
That's right.
We always have to say that. But besides Paul Goldschmidt, Tomas has. He's Monty Tomas. And when it comes to spring training, here's a guy who signs a $68.5 million contract, comes over from Cuba, his first time in America, trying to adjust to a new language, new culture. And struggles.
Not a third baseman.
Not a third baseman, but he goes out there and he tries and he works hard during spring. I mean, constantly working on taking ground balls. It just wasn't working
Didn't
for him.
Work.
But, he did a much better job when he came up than he did during spring training at third, but still not, an average third baseman.
Looks better in right field.
And they put him in right field, and he's making some nice catches, two nice catches last night.
He really did.
And during spring training, he was a guy that went the opposite way a lot of ground ball singles to right. And you kind of started to hear the chuckles like, they spent $68 million for a guy to punch and Judy hit it to the right side. And now he's driving the ball more, and he's hitting with authority. And he's popular with his teammates because they appreciate he's trying to learn English. They appreciate that he's working hard. And he's just always in a good mood.
He's always
has a positive mindset on things.
It was certainly a guy the Padres seemed to be in the mix for. It was a name we kicked around a lot this winter. Steve is on Twitter at SteveGilbertMLB. Robbie Ray pitched last night. We've now seen him twice in the last week. He's an interesting guy, and the Padres have handled him pretty well. But in his other starts, he's looked almost unhittable at times. I guess you just don't see a lot of lefties that can get it up there to 95, 96, which he seems to be able to do.
And that's one of the things that attracted him. You know, they could have done that Didi Gregorius trade and gotten Shane Green, but they liked the lefty that threw hard. He's still trying to master that breaking pitch.
Right.
They feel like if he can master that breaking pitch, then he can really put it together because his fastball and his change are pretty good.
He gets on top of the fastball real nice, but he still gets under that breaking ball a little bit and watching him. But like you say, there is quite a bit to work with there. I mean, you got a left-hander that can throw 95, 96, that can throw strikes, knows where to put it. He's just not letting it go. He's got an idea what he's doing.
And
with
a young guy, too. But he's still got learning.
Yeah. There's potential there.
Upside, well, we call that in the scouting world, RJ.
Upside, sorry.
A lot of upside for Robbie
in
Ray.
In the scouting world.
One more for Steve Gilbert. I asked this out of total left field. I haven't heard anything. It probably sounds ridiculous to ask, but is there any scenario in which they move Goldschmidt? I mean, do they ever get around to a point where they say we got to blow this thing up and we can get anything we want?
Did you have to ask that? You had to ask that.
He not only is he good, and not only is he good off the field, and they love everything about him. His contract is very friendly for them. So I can't see a situation right now. I can't envision a situation now where they would move.
There's no doubt. I think if not the best player in the National League right now, he's right there.
He's right there. And you watch him on a daily basis, and it's his consistency in his routine, how hard he works. I wrote a story recently about his mental approach. He feels like at 27, there's only so much more you can do to improve physically. So mentally was the next frontier for him. So he hired a mental coach, and he's been studying, that kind of stuff to see if he can get better in that way. And that's what it's like in a big league. You're always trying to get better.
Always.
Because if you're not, you're falling behind.
It's amazing. It seemed like every year, more years I pitched, the more mental the game got.
Sure.
And it might have been 50%, but, I had 5 years in the big leagues, it was 90% mental.
Yeah.
The physical part was there. You know what you had. Now it's mentally how you handle it.
Yeah, and handling failure for a hitter, and stuff. And if you watch him, he very rarely shows emotion on the field. He's able to kind of put that at bat behind him and go out in the field. And that's something that some guys really can't.
The
really
one thing you
master.
Notice when he gets to the plate, that short stroke, powerful short stroke.
Yeah.
And being a former starting pitcher, that'll get my attention quicker than anything else.
He steals bases, too.
Yeah.
A big guy. Because he studies film and sees what a guy's delivery is like, what he can do. I mean, because a lot of his steals are without a throw because he's able to kind of read the pitcher and picks up little things.
Interesting stuff. Mm. And one of the top players in all of baseball. Always good catching up with Steve Gilbert. Somehow, even though the Padres and the Diamondbacks have played 74 games against one another this year, this is our first conversation with Steve. He's on Twitter, at SteveGilbertMLB, favorite.
Or do you have a Twitter?
You have to tweet this day and age.
That's
another thing about Paul Goldschmidt. No social media.
None.
Doesn't have anything
to
do with social media.
He's old school.
I like his attitude.
All right. Always good to see you, Steve, man. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks, Steve.
It's my pleasure.
Credit, by the way, some of these road reporters, they'll call in from the press box up there. They don't want to come down to the AMR studio. Steve has more than once been down to the AMR studio.
Way to step up, man.
Where would you rather be than right here, right now?
Yeah. That's it, baby. He was on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Thanks again to Steve Gilbert. Take a break. Come back. More of your tweeter questions, including some injury updates right after this.